Chicago Municipal Council.
Is entering the conference.
Yeah, we're going to start in a moment.
No, it's showing my income.
Oh, good. Just 12 people. Okay. How are you?
Well, I'm trying to stay. I've got a little congestion. Stays with me all the time.
You know, like the respiratory thing?
Yeah.
I had it from, from Shabbos and Nahum, maybe for weeks.
Yeah,
to get rid of it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
phlegm.
Yeah.
Being recorded.
What is your first name?
Dan
Schmackenhoff.
Thank you, Far.
Grandson's marriage.
Oh, right. I hadn't seen this. I don't know what I'm getting Muslim. I get another Muslim.
You'll wait to the next one.
I get another Muslim. So tomorrow, another grandson is being sworn to the bar.
Oh,
that's
all right.
The bar is swearing in.
Yeah, where's that here?
He has a club of the job with the Department of Justice, the Antitrust Division.
Oh, so he's federal.
Oh, yeah, and there was only one opening in the Chicago office with tremendous.
You have to make it a crazy because high notes is not the middle of the road to. Can you find out the name, please?
So Jack, after the meeting, we'll
you used to be the concert supervisor.
Yeah.
What do you do with such an unauthorized use of the CRC? How do you deal with that?
There are various ways to deal with this. The worst way is to hopefully even call up a company and really get them to withdraw. But it's all the way.
They probably do, but it's on there for a long time.
Probably
lasts a long time.
It depends what the price is. Well, sometimes it depends what the price is.
Right, today I picked for a topic of a shiur. I hope to give a couple of shiurim in that area. It's in Yovadeya, and it comes right from Sukkim in the Teva, and it's a it's a practical thing, although it's one of those things that Chazal say that these are part of the hooking. That umasayim meaning as Yisrael, they taunt the Jewish people just like they do about the Pur Aduma, about Basa Bacholo, Shatnez, and all that. But Shatnez is a real issue. It's an issue as far as and it's part of the whole structure of Klayim. In Klayim, you have different areas. You have Kilei Zoyim, Kilei Hakelim, you have Kilei Begodim. So, and of course, also you have Kilei Behema. You have all these different things that are an area of Klayim. So some are more in the Gaya Eretz Yisrael, but when it comes to Inyan of Shatnez, the Kilei Begodim, it's in the Gaya everybody on basically on the same level. So we're going to discuss part of sort of the opening aspect of Kilei Begodim and the marker to start. Of course, there's a Masechta Klayim, which has no Gemara in Bavli, only Yerushalmi on that. And we start with the Mishnayos and the Rishonim, especially the Rash, besides the Rambam, but the Rash will bring whole citations from the Yerushalmi explaining certain things. So we're starting here at Perik Chi, that's sheet number one in Masechus Klayim. Ein Asa Meshum Klayim, we're talking about Kilei Begodim, and because the Tzona Sifta is talking about all other types of Klayim, but all the geometrical diagrams that you have over there, how you fit all of these things. So it's a study in geometry. How do you get things in certain areas? And but here you don't have to go past that. Ein Asa Meshum Klayim Elo Temel Pishtim. Klayim basically are two aspects. There has to be wool, and we're going to define what kind of wool it is. Wool and flax. So, and we'll see shortly here in the Mishnah what kind of wool. There are many creatures in the world that have wool. So what do we have? He doesn't say it yet. Veinim etam of Negoyim, when it comes to the dinim of Negoyim, and when it talks there at the end of Parsha Sazria about the Godim over there being metame, the Nige Begodim, Ela Tzemer Pishnim. Has to be Tzemer Pishnim. Ein HaKeinim Levshin, L'shamesh V'beis HaMikdash, Ela Tzemer Pishnim. Actually, the Keinim are wearing the Begodim that really are Shatnas. Some of them, the question of the Abnetei, the belt of the, which was a Shatnas, was not Shatnas, and so forth. But that is not the main subject matter that we're interested in. Here's where we're coming to more, and then he comes to another interesting shaila, which is by Tzemer Gmalim, the wool of camels, the Tzemer Rechelim, and the wool of sheep, and Shetov and Zeb is there, he mixed them up, in Leiden and Agmalim, if most of that is the wool of a camel, what we would call camel's hair, generally, is mutter. It would be, well, what does it mean it would be mutter? It means mutter if you put a thread of pishtim into that. We say it's not good because the reiv is tamer gemar. The im reiv min arachelim, but if the reiv is from the arachelim, would be osa. Matzah, let's say the mixture was half and half, is osa. The chain, now he's going to mention something else. Pishtim, which is the flax, or linen we cut, the hakandus. Now, kandus, in all the, they all translate as hemp. It's the plant, the hemp plant that you, actually there's an, I think the marijuana plant is related somehow to that, cannabis or kandus, that's the name of it. So, yeah, kandus, cannabis, yeah, that's where they say it's connected with that. But anyhow, we're not talking about marijuana here, talking about this kandus, which we'll see was a very prevalent, even later on, here we're talking time of the Mishnah, time of Chazal, see later how this plays itself out in Europe and things having to do with the Shulchan Aruch, with this kambus. Pishtin and kambus, the same thing would be the Shetof and Zebazet, because although the kambus looks woolly, that's the point, what he's saying, it looks woolly, nevertheless, it would be like the Semer Gemalim. In the same particular way.
recognizable when they get mixed up?
This is the whole thing. This is the whole, one of the great discussions we'll see in the Rishonim is of that question of recognizing. In fact, just to jump ahead, there was a time, we'll see it right on some of the Mefors and Shuroth, they demanded Hefsherim on garments going back hundreds of years ago. Not just, you know, the Shatner's laboratory, they're going back to time in Vilna in the 17th century. We'll see that shortly. All right from the text and how this plays itself out. But first, I think we ought to take a glance to understand the Surim of Shatner, because there are two psukim in the Teva. One says, Lo Yilbash, one says he should not wear Shatner, and then it says, Beged Shatner, Lo Yala Alecha. Do not. So, how do we relate these two psukim? Now, the best way to find out how they deal with it, take a look in the Rash, Rabbeinu Shimshon, who's one of the Bali cases. Right there, we have it underlined. And he, mostly in state of joy, and he's a great Mephorosh besides the Rambam, he's constantly quoting the Yerushalmi, because in state of joy, I mean, you have on every Masechta, you have Gemara, Yerushalmi. So here, he says, Yerushalmi Allah Aleph, see, those silver shatnes, Samuel Pisim Yahdom, the Isa, Amen, Osa, El, and Melubos. So I might think the only prohibition is wearing it, dressing in it. So Talmud Lema, Lo Yalecho. It says the Beged Shatnez Lo Yalecho should not go up on you. So literally. So what does that mean? E Lo Yalecho Yisraema Lo Yapshil Akev Akupa Liachro. Supposing he has something, he has a basket or something that has Shatnez in it. So I might think if he carries it, he's carrying it on his back, and that kupa, that lo yal alecha, take it literally. You can't put it on you. So, and he's not wearing it. So what is the answer? He says no. You tell him to learn the lo silbash. Mal b'shdovashu mahana haguf. You have to have hanor from the goof. It's up ainly lo dovashu mahana haguf. Something that is mahana haguf. So what situation do you have the Isa of Lo Yala Alecha? So that Yehna B'Shem Reb Zeva, this is all the quote from Yerushalmi, Shim Lo Yabeged Godel Mikhtosu Yez Bokhlein. Let's say you have a big beged, or let's say you have a big blanket of sort. Now at the end of one end of the blanket, there's Shatnez. Only a mikvah. Yeah, right, yeah.
Perfect.
Well, yeah, that's a good example of it. Yeah. The beggar got a mikvah, she has got climb, or mulach leolus. You know, schleps the chadreel. It's dragging on the ground. The mikvah's a rainbow, and the other part doesn't have it. Lo yishasabo mitzah cheni. He should not wear it, even on the part that is what? That doesn't have the shatnez. What is he saying? Mihi pistim. You know, he's here, Aimer, peace team showing. Oh, Kamba, I might think, if it says peace team, how do we define peace team? So he wants it, I'm going to think it's only peace team alone, or maybe it could be Kambas. In other words, it has to be, when you say wool, you have to know immediately that it's really sheep's wool. You know, we don't use another, like in the terminology of the Mishnah and the Gemara, when they said stam semer, it meant from rechelin, from sheep, semer. But if you start saying another type of a name on it, almost like a brand, and saying it, that's not going to be real semer, as he's saying. Not the same thing with pishin. Pishin shein l'shem lovi. Benayim shein l'shem lovi. Amir shum alevi. Seeds. Now, how do we know it has to be pure tzema from sheep? And they bring this pasuk from Malachim. Let's say from Malachim. It says, Omesha Melach Mayavoy. That's his name. It's not a literature pronunciation of Mesha. It's Mesha. Omesha Melach Mayavoy and Nokade. He was a Nokade. What does a Nokade mean? Mal Nokade Voe. A shepherd. And the Heshiv Lamelach Yisrael. Mea Elof Kloin. He gave like tribute of 100,000 sheep for Mea Elof Elim. 100 rams, 100,000 rams. Semer, ain lefor kori semer. And what did he have from the 100,000 wool? Ain lefor kori semer el semer alin. It's semer alin, the wool of alin.
Is there something that could be synthetic wool? Would that be considered?
Well, the thing is this. I said before, the question was asked rightfully, and that's one of the things that we have to wrestle with, recognition. How do we reckon, can we recognize some things that some people call wool or looks like wool? How can you determine what it is? And we have to just leave this alone for a while because there's some things that look very woolly, but they're not actually the tzemer of the hairing of sheep. So this is all part of that. Now, let's go further. Let's turn to the Mishnah. I'm not going to go further than that. See, I'm not going to go today to discuss this question of beetle and everything else. I'm leaving that for a special shear because it impacts on some of the clothing of beetle. And when you say beetle or heter the heter, it's climb is a strange thing. You have two heterim.
Like Basar B'Cholos?
Yeah, that's why they compare them both. The Basar B'Cholos. So what type of tahuvus is that? Because is it have to be totally mixture? Do you use the same clawing? By Basar B'Cholos, we have clawing of nice and tam, the beetle b'shishim, and so forth. But by Tamar Pishnim, well, how do we consider that? So I'm not touching on that today. First place is another, I'm just raising the question. You know, Shiloh, where the heter b'heter becomes bottle. Heter b'ishim, you know, is a din of beetle. Is there such a thing of heter b'heter? It's not just a simple thing. So I'm not touching on that. I want to touch mostly on identification of the tzemer. Now turn, look at the next Mishnah. It's on the second Amud, number 2. The second Mishnah. The Ashirim, which really is Ashirayim. Now Ashirayim, Pashto is generally translating more as a type of silk. You know, in Yiddish, they used to train a Zayden. You say a Zayden a Yid. He's a special. The Zayden a best silk, that's all. Shirayim, Kaloch. Now, Kaloch, he doesn't define what that is over here, but he'll bring a Yerushalmi, we'll see how the Rambam defines Kaloch as also something that looks woolly, that looks like wool. Is ein behem mishum klayim. There is no klayim in that. But avalashurim mipnei maris ha'ayin. But it's also because of maris ha'ayin. In other words, let's say somebody had pishtim, for example, and he mixed it together with this kaloch, which is a woolly looking substance. So people will say, he's wearing a beged of shatnez. Although it's 100% heter, there's no ether if you mix them together, but once, and the same thing with shirayim, with silk, or what is called later meshi. The silk, you mix the silk which looks is a smooth stuff closer to pishtim, and you mix that with wool, so that's also because of maris ha'ayin. And it says further. We have to come to that. We're going to come. Who can see and who can recognize?
Well, you could have a wool garment, a wool sweater.
Yeah, right.
And you have some wool and a linen to be a brocade of
lining.
Huh? Not the lining. Even on the outside of the lining, that's not sewn together.
Sewn together is a problem.
Yeah,
the question is how if they're tefillah, if paper, we're going to come to that. You have the lining, you have that. What about the thread? Thread, they talk about thread by the buttons, luwals, you know, by the buttons or the, you know, wherever it is. You have all types of situations, which are all discussed, we'll see, from the Rishonim right into to the Beis Yosef who talks about that.
How do you know whether you can really see
it? That's part of the problem. Whether you can recognize what we call Hakara. Is there a hecker in all of these things? Which we soon will see the statement made quoted by the the Baal Datur about his father, the Rosh, talking about the question of recognition. So let's be patient. Let's get to this thing. But then he says another thing. Hakorim, Vaksos, and Hakorim generally are pillows or hard, something that you sit on, rely on. You're not wearing it. Remember, there's a point. That's where we come back to the other pasuk, because the other pasuk says lo yala alecho. You're not wearing it. The question is whether you're going to have chimum. How's it going to be coming? Is it hard? Is it soft? That makes an afkamina. And ein behem ishum. There's no client. It makes just a stunner. We have to define that. As long as the bare flesh does not touch, you saw the gayabah. Ain't arai leklayim basically means it's not a temperate. You can't do something, say, well, a good example will be later on what's called in the Mishnah, it's called in the Gemara Pesachim. Let's say someone is selling suits, meichreik suits, and it says meichrein kadakam olvovat shelo yehanava. You can sell them. How do they generally use to put them? Try them on. So it says that many of the sellers used to put the big Yir Shemayim used to put them on a pole. Used to put the suit up on a pole. They said, I have a suit for sale. They weren't wearing it to show that this is the kind of suit you can buy, or so forth. I can get you a size. They put it on a pole in order not to be involved in the having to deal with a temporary thing. Because the Gemara saw him, it's a whole sugya. There's a cloud where the Gemara talks, Efshir below mechavein. If it's possible to not to wear something or not to do a certain thing at Easter, but when you're doing the Easter, if you're not mechavein to have an or from it, are you allowed to do that mechatzil or not? That's a shaila in the Gemara. So that's where they bring in about the mechrei ksus, that efshir below mechavein. Anyhow, so that's mentioned later here in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah Hay.
So trying on a suit,
you don't know yet whether it's client. So you're already going into a possibility of that. I mean, no one that I generally know of, they go into a store and they try on a suit, you don't know b'shas ma'isa whether it's going to be client or not until you have it checked out. You can't check it out beforehand unless the store has already advertised that all our garments are shotness free. That's a different thing, you know. Give an example. If you go into the stores in Borough Park, where they have a lot of the chassidish of the garden, or some people go in, it's not just what we call kapatas or bekishes and so forth, there's a guarantee that when it's in the time of manufacture, that is no shotness in it. That's all there is to it. But in another store, if you go into Sims, I'm going to give you a practical lemaisa, you have to have, although most of their garments, I know for a fact, most of their garments are not shotness, but you still have to check it out. Yeah. One of the ways I used to bought suits the last few years, it's been a couple of years, when I used to visit my daughter in Baltimore, there was a Sims store off a highway. She used to go in there and buy a couple of suits, but I had it easy as far as checking clients. My daughter works for the Star K, so there's always a certain lob that comes in there and checks the clients. So she used to, I never took them home, the suits. She used to have the lob come in and check it out. Ad Hayom, they never found any shotness in all of the gutting, but I can't say that their place is shotness free. Then she used to send it, you know, by parcel post or whatever it is, send it to me. But in many stores, you don't have to be that much cautious, but you still have to test it. Because sometimes in the ornamentation, that's the word they use, in the backing, especially
on the collar,
and other places, that's where on the shoulder pads, sometimes they have to remove the whole pads or other things of that in order to get the shotness out.
So if you would go to a store who has a foreign manufacturer,
yeah,
and they have shown many times they have got shotness, be a question of trying on.
Well, yeah, I would say I would try to stay away from doing that stuff if they're very facious to that. I remember one time I was living in New York and went with my son to buy him a winter coat in Alexander's. They're not in existence anymore. That's the big, the Salonika Jews. Well, Rousseau, I think, was their family name. So there was a great store. So they had a sale on coats, dried on. So we took it for shopping, full of shopping. So we took it back. So the salesman said, "We've had a lot of returns on these coats." So I told him, "Well, Orthodox Jews can't wear these coats." That's what it came out to. Anyhow, that's it. That's the way it comes out. So now look at the that Mishnah that we were quoting about Maris Ayin. There's an interesting side thing that should be a great lesson here. I'm just aim behemishim klayim. These, in other words, the Korim Aksosas will explain that what that means, like means some types of blankets or things that are mattresses that you're sitting on. And there's no klayim. Uvovad shloyeh b'soron again. The flesh is your bare flesh is not touching. Shouldn't be any chimum on it. Ain ar. Then we just said ain ar the klayim. There's no temporary thing for the klayim. Below yildas klayim.
What does that mean?
What?
No temporary thing.
Well, meaning that question, that's Shiloh why was brought up about putting it on.
And I said, for example, a tefillah kelim, if you say the disposal, you only need one, so you don't have to.
Right.
There you go.
Of course, yeah. There's some things, you know, you say you can wait. You can wait a while, like a mezuzah, if it's a rental, you can wait 30 days. You know, it's all these different things. So here he says there's no aray l'klayim. But he hasn't gone into the details of that. But here's the point: below yildas klayim, afila al gabe. The gabe yud means that on if there are 10 matzos, that's the example given in Gemara, 10 sheets of sofa, and the bottom one is klayim. You shouldn't sit on that. It says you should not sit on that. Why are we concerned about it? Although you're not getting any direct handoff from the thing down, but they're afraid that maybe a thread from the client will go up al psoro. That's the lo yala. That's a shash. Now what it says, afilu, don't wear climb afilu legal es amerus to get away from the tax collector. What does it mean?
You wear three coats.
So that's what they used to. That's what is mentioned. The Yerushalmi, discover look what the Vash brings about that. I'm saying, look what it talks about. First of all, Ein Arai. Let's look at Ein Arai L'Klayim. That's right near that big hay in the Vash in the right hand column.
Yes.
The Levishas Arai Shmuel Levishas. The also the Reishat Chelus Maiselor. Although he doesn't go, in other words, he's wearing a bag of the arbicompass that's made out of that. So he should not wear that. Only temporarily. Agabe Yud Levushim, of course, he's corrected the loss of the mission. Agabe Yud Levushim. Rafa Fish ain't an enemy man, although he's not have any hanor out of it. Afilu ligno lesam meches. Today yitzias hashar shenaitel bo hameches. Let's say he has to go through a gate or a place where they're collecting the taxes. Shein nicely meches midgodim shaleidish odom. That which the person is wearing, he could have a brand new suit. He bought it wherever he was. He doesn't have to pay any tax on that. The sova dova shein a mischavim is also. So the person he holds at a dove, I am not machaven to have a gnaw on it, but it's not going to help. He removed the reisha gezel basa, who probably, but there's a machlekes. He brings a machlekes astama, the mechlek suf, because there's mechlek suf, mechlek kedarkam, which they wore. They wore, so that shows that it could be arai, that you put just for temporary things. They say because they don't have in mind to have hanor on doing that. Well, the safe, then he says, well, the mukhash ain't lo kitzvah. And now here he's talking about what kind of tax collector we talk about. Time in the Gemara, you had all kinds of, they're almost like corrupt thieves.
That's the only way
that they were what they called later on tax farmers. a tax farmer was somebody that came to the local government or the Lord and says, look, you want to have, I'll make a deal with you. I'll give you every year so much money for tax, let me do the collection. These tax places to come and ring, squeeze as much as they could out of the people.
So these were legitimate.
Yeah, not direct from the government. Not from the government, but they were like, you know, they got the possession of it. Some sort of a deal with them. So he says that it's talking about saying, no kids, Mary, over Mukhus, I'm in Nalos. Suddenly a guy, you know, in those times where there's no real law and order, he comes up, he collects taxes, you know, it's like the underworld comes and for protection, you know, protect your store, you give so much, no, they're still doing it, I want you to know that.
What? What a surprise.
And Borobok used to see the guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You always have the same description. They come in the same kind of house, a big black car. I'm telling you, I've seen it. And the guy's a big, burly type of guy with dark glasses. And the highway protection agency, that's what they come. And they go around to the business. And somebody opens up a business, some rich guy appears and says, well, you know, you have to give, and very small amounts. They don't take big. They do volume. I'm telling you, they go around to so many stores. They used to take $10, $20 a month, which is not a lot. That's what they used to do. So once my son had opened, repair shop there in Berlin. They used to come around, and he asked, what do you do for us? Oh, we have cars all over. We're watching, protecting your stores. He didn't want to argue with them. But that's the way it works. So that's a made me able.
Still going on?
Sure it is. I didn't hear of anything else about it. You remember that territory near Borough Park borders on Bensonhurst, which is the central seat of or Brooklyn areas where the Casa Nostra, all the major people were. In fact, they once caught sitting in a car in Borough Park, this fellow, the famous, infamous gangster Gambino.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, they caught him with that. He was the one, just telling you tangentially, never spoke on a telephone. Never talked on a telephone. He had a house on Ocean Parkway. Used to meet anybody, used to meet him in his garden. Not in the house. It's all type of thing. Once a limousine driver told me, we're going through Bensonhurst in my funeral. He said, see some of these houses, they're connected with tunnels. Escape tunnels. As they told me. And they, most of them, own the limousine services. You know, for all the, a lot of the Jewish undertakers. It's something that's unbelievable. All right. But that's a so this is a mukhas or emes be'elov. You have the real definition. However, this is what's important. He's a mukhas hosan. He is some mukhas below climb also. He says, without climb, you're not supposed to cheat, take from the government. The dina de malchus is dina. That's the way it is. And that, the Rosh is saying it in a time of when...
To apply?
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm saying, people think... That's
Agrippa's the third bankruptcy today.
You know, that's what the time is...
Agrippa's?
Oh.
You don't know what I'm talking about.
Oh. Yeah, where's the beef? That's the holy
thing. It was such bad shape financially.
You don't know what's going on with
this. All right, let's not get off of that. But the point is, this is a very important point. You can even add more power, the fact that the Rosh was from the Bali Tesis at a time he didn't have such organized, stable governments. And nevertheless, he said, that's what I'm telling you. Allah has come of a common, an organized government of law. That's the Or HaShulchan's Taina. Or HaShulchan, very controversial in Simon Sheehan Peches, where he says that the Deen of Mesira to a government does not apply to a Malchus like Britannia. It even says Wushia, because it was a government of law. It was a government of law. You had laws and so forth. So I have come of a common democracy. So that's a very controversial or chashuv, you know, which is tumult all the time when it's brought up, because others apply it, others do not. He lived at the time of the last czar.
Yeah, but he also lived after the revolution.
Yeah, but no. He did not. But the czar's governor, but I have to understand, that's why they try to fault him for that. Nevertheless, the czar's government was a government of law. They had laws, they had courts, they had laws, everything else. The only fortunate thing is, if a Jew fell in there, he'd have a big problem. But he does mention Malchus Britannia. Britain, which before the First World was basically constitutional monarchy. It was, at all the time, which had...
period of time when they closed on Volosian and all
that. Well, that's... That they did it on a basis, there's a whole...
And what about Israel? I mean, is it the government of laws in Israel? They destroy the outposts, or they go back to...
That's what he said. But Dina the Malchus is Dina, especially when it comes to the Muchas, you know, all of this stuff. You'd be surprised how many Shilas come into this office from different places about deception, whether it's government or in business. If I had one Shila today, where someone is working in a business and they have to get online, they have two levels. This company sells certain design, and the woman that works is a firm that works in this other company that buys that. So if it's a private, you're buying something private, it's a reduced amount. If you're buying it for a business, it's a higher amount. So her boss tells her that, look, you take the credit card from the company and order for, that you say, for Yochid, not for Rabbi. So the Shiloh, the people are there, they ask the Shiloh, can they do that? I says, absolutely not. I said, you're taking away its false pretenses.
We experienced right here in our office, we wanted to buy the Bar Ilan from PBS, Bar Ilan Chubas.
Right.
For an organization, it is more expensive than a Yochid. Why? They know Jewish organizations, they're going to make copies of it and spread it around, and charge you more up front.
Of course.
And out of Yochid can buy it cheaper.
But Dina Malchusa is, but that's a Dina tale. I told her, I told this person, that the husband was calling. I won't mention from where, but I said, look, this is a moral challenge. There are many people in their businesses or their professions face this every now and then by they're told to do certain things by someone who is a boss or a supervisor, and it's morally unacceptable. So they might lose the job. I can't say anything more about that. That's the problem. You know, someone tells you eat not kosher, you're going to listen to the boss. Of course not. So it's the same thing in that. I said the best thing to do is first tell the person that you can't do it. Just don't, you know, tell them why. Maybe they'll understand it.
What would they do if they say, I will lose my job, my parnassa?
Still would have to, what do you call it? I probably would have to tell them that you can't do that. That's all. You still can't. You know, it's like saying, I use a radical example. Just take a little money from the bank and don't tell them that you're taking it. It's a difficult thing, but I couldn't tell them that.
I once had an Israel bond in Bank Levy in Israel, and they figured out how much I've entitled to them. And they charged me five or six agarot. I said, what about this? We don't make a big deal out of the agarot. How do you book scout? Well, you don't make a big deal out of it. What is that supposed to mean?
Yeah. Well, sometimes you have, I've had once an interesting question where from a doctor who has billed an insurance company, believe very legitimately, the insurance company overpaid, believe it or not. So he's a very honest from doctor, still around, I know him. So this was in New York. So he called up and he said, well, what shall I do? I said,
how is it? He had asked the Shiloh.
So, wait a minute. So, onto the nose, an insurance company and all that. So I said to him, you have to call him up and tell him that you're overbilled me. So, you know what the insurance company responded? It's too much trouble to go through the records. Keep the money. So there you keep it. That's all.
I'm just giving you an example of these kind of situations that happen
all the time. Others would never ask the question. We take the money and run. All right. Now let's get back to the client, the Achilles begotten here. Now let's go to the next sheet. So we're dealing here mainly about these different types of things that seem to be similar to either tamer or pitim. So let's go now to the Rambam. The Rambam is sheet number 2. Who's the Rambam? There he is. That's in Perek Asiri. Yeah. Ain also, now Rambam, as you'll see a lot of these Lashanas will be repeated later in the other Puskin. They take up some of it the way the Rambam has said, Ain also the Kili begotten and the Tamra Pishin Luvach and Emma, no silver shatne, Tamra Pishin Yada. The Yez is now here, Rambam goes immediately into a definition. The Yez bekrache ayam kamot Tamar, something that looks like wool, should gotten a lot of avonim, should be yam. So it looks like a type of a moss, I guess. Yamamelech, should be Yamamelech, he says in the Dead Sea. The appearance, it looks golden. The hu rach biyot is very soft. The kalosh shemot. Now he's defined. Well, we had a Mishnah where it was kalosh. And also imatishin. Why? It's not wool. It's not tamer v'chelim. Because it's made maros ha'ayim. Shu deima l'tamer v'chelim. The chain ha'shirayim v'akalosh. The shirayim and the kalah asurim mitnei maros ha'ayim, because again the shirayim is the silk. Is the silk that looks more like pishtim, like linen, and you mix it together with the kalah, which looks like wool, is going to, although both of them are not tamer, real tamer or pishtim, is that's what I'm saying, mitnei maros ha'ayim.
When my product first came out, it was the first part of a margarine America.
Big problem.
Assistance that you had to serve it in the wrapper because of the marzipan. However, now it seems to be so common that nobody seems to make this demand in conscious agencies. Like at a banquet.
You used to have a sign on the table for them.
Well, we had to sign the hat ourselves.
Well, you have to have a sign.
The sign
takes the place of that.
Right. But there's a case with an issue of marzipan. Well, I guess that's the person who wears sign. This is not today.
I once discussed in Borough Park, and once there was a certain love that was giving a private hefsher on a something, and the shul had gone there. It was a trustworthy person, there's no question about his kashrus, but they come in there and they're serving the parva milk, but it's only in a container. There's no sign on the table. So I got a hold of him later, and I said, you must put some sort of a sign. He didn't argue with me, because it's a dean of the Shulchan Aruch. We're talking about the halav skating. That's where the
well is. Is there a certain point where, like, now decades later, where every supermarket in every little town has the par creamers, the par ice cream?
Yeah, but who says that it always... That they're serving that all the time. You never know. You might remember you have waiters and waitresses, you have all sorts of things there in the refrigerator. I'll tell you a story about that. There was somebody that used to attend by Dr. Jamie in Borough Park. So this man was a learned man. He was a science teacher in the high school. But he used to be in charge of the Concord Hotel, which had generally a private hashgacha. And, on Shabbos was no Shabbat. They had a private hashgacha. It was supposed to be strict. He says, well, he remembers one of the waiters who later became a movie star, a comic. He said that people wanted milk in their coffee. They didn't have the parva stuff at that time. So the guy used to come. He had a fountain pen. You have the fountain pen. You want milk? It was a fountain pen squirted right into the coffee.
But that's the milk
I'm talking about. He had the fountain pen filled with milk.
But now...
You know, he had a milk and companion. He remembers the name. I'm not going to mention the name of the guy.
But now it's
the Jewish... He became a Jewish comic, a famous one.
But
But now if you know, we're concerned with mistakes in the caterers or the waiters, that's different than modern science. Because if you see it, you know now it's not, it's so commonplace.
Yeah, but at the same time, that from a kasha standpoint, you still have to have a control. You have to have a control, but it is, but many times you're worried, there's no sign on the table, what is this? Is this milk, is it not milk? All right, now, so the Rambam mentions this again, the Zema, the Sema, the Chain, and so forth. Now, what is the tour, okay, I just want to see something else, yeah. Look at page 3 now. And here's where we come to the question of recognition by God. And of course, the tour is Simon, the strange Simon, that's right. You know, they sound exact. They didn't change it. Something is. Like, you know, when they talk about the Simon Reish, Iron Hay, try to turn it around. Iron Reish, hey, you know. So here they leave it that way. I always was wondering why. Of course, if you put Tzadik Reish Ches, it means crying out, Tzorach, you know. Well, let's go down. We have it underlined, where he's quoting most of the Rambam here. And then he says the following. The Kotos Ovi Adoni HaRozdal Umitnei Zeh Osati Bi Ashkenaz. Remember, the Rosh lived first in Germany. And from was considered of the G'dayli Chachmi Ashkenaz. He moved to Toledo, Spain. So he says, "Asati the Ashkenaz will live for a beged canvas, tachas beged semer." To sew actually would be like a lining. And although the canvas is not something which is also, it's hemp. It's a canvas. It's a hemp beged semer. The fish ain't beged canvas matri be Ashkenaz. The youth room should beged pishnim because it's a smooth looking type of it that will think it's pishnim. But now, Mitsuyan dig de meshi beinenu. We find that there are silk regarding the hako, makim. Everybody recognizes that this is silk. Here it is. Hilka muta litro dig de meshi, tahas dig de sema. The same chute meshi, and also thread, silk thread, the sarvo shall sema, in a garment, a jacket, or a coat of wool. That's what he says, stop. But the Beis Yosef here, if you take a look down where it says Amasha Kosa B'Shem HaRosh Mitmezeh Osati B'Ashkan Shal Yitra Beged Kamatar Beged Semer Atzeif HaSimen Tzeif Per Test. That's also in Nidam Asef Nidam, where it also quotes from Klayim. We go now to number 4. Let's see where we are. There we are. On the top, the Gam Rash, that's Rabbeinu Shimshon, called today Lesser Osam Lulos. These loops, Shemasimim Besarvo, that they attach there on the jacket, Shehein Shelmeshi, the Haina Shirayim, these are silk. Thou Kofa Esam Begodin Shelmeshi, Ainze Shirayim Shebetalmud, Shai Matsuyan, Beneno Harbe, the Shirayim and the Shirayim of the Gemara, not. So as if to say, we don't have to worry so much about it the way they worried about it in the time of the Gemara.
Yeah, belt loop almost.
Yeah, right.
They held the sword.
Sure. Vena Mitzuyin, Gemur Vev Lamem Adrikim, Vashili Sukta Vachain, Plus of Smart. Now, let's go right. Now, there's a whole question here about Yassini of the Maris Ayin, which the Bach has a big Arichis on this. You go back to number 3. Number 3. The Bach is concerned about this, about the Maris Ayin here. Where it says, Masha Kosa B'Shem HaRosh and so forth. So go all the way down where he says, there at the bottom, the Tzorech Iyun. He says, the Malchusenu Zeh. Now the Bach, we have to talk about time because time plays a role in all this. The Bach lived at the beginning of the 17th century. It was right after the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef was Nifter at the end of the 16th, or the 1575, to be accurate, according to the Geirish Hezman. The Bach was born in the 16th century, but I don't think he knew directly the Beis Yosef, but he immediately commented on many things about the Shulchan Aruch, and that's all brought in the Bach. So he says, Mamal Hussein, when he lived in Eastern Europe, the Bach was a Rav for a while, you know, where? In Brisk. They sent him out of there. They fired him because they didn't see a light 2 o'clock in the morning in his study. They figure he's sleeping. And there was old Balabati says that Rav has to be learning 2 o'clock in the morning. That's a story. He was in a couple of other places. And if these things are like legendary mices. The Bach also ended up in Krakow, in the same cemetery where the Ramor is buried. We were there when we were in Europe. In Poland, there's the Ramor, the Bach, the Pesach Yontif, and the Megala Mukos. All these gaining daily are buried right there, almost in one row or two. Now, so anyhow, so the Bach says, there much of a Malchusein, there much of a beggar Kambus, the Mixas Mechamus, Ela Shalonimsa Misha Makiro. This is what we said before. We don't find anybody that can really recognize Lavan Aza Pishnim Aza Kambus. Ki'im Al Hama'at. Only very few people know about that. Ain't Shori Latifrei. So if you have Kambus and you don't know, you think it's Kambus, you can't do the sewing. What he mentioned together as a lining. Ain't Shori Latifrei Tahas Begat Samad or Mashim with the Din and Dapka the Hako Makiram Bay. Everybody, the majority, the overwhelming majority, the key to Kotov HaRosh, Gabi Meshi, like by silk. Rohi Mashmi Nami Mashmi Kotov HaRosh Mashma Gabi Meshi. The suit Torahi, another problem. The Dilma Ein Osa Mishum Maras Ayin, Ela Bishanir Leinayim. Only when it's public. Avo Kishu Topper Tachas HaBeged, where nobody sees the lining, Shein and Nir Elo. Let's say flax that he dyed, the chelis, which is like a boot black. It's a black type of thing. He dyed it, so you can't recognize it. Lo yasa esa imro should make it as a hem, or a seam, mufursemis. Uvekor mitzosis is mutter. But if it's in pillows and like in blankets, it's more. Why? If there's a rash, the heinel is zvor pishnim to dye it, or go and to weave it in beged shel pishnim, to weave it together with the lavan, white stuff, the lavush b'fahesia, mishum demerze. It looks like lime. Looks like lime when it's the public. People won't be able to totally, as if to say, to recognize it. So. Over there on number 4 of the Bach, the upper left hand. Well, the guy got the name also a shemaim a kalav mishum marisayin dafki b'fahesia. Gamara shehita lulo shel meshi allowed the looping of the silk threads shema seaming the sabo shel tem and the wool jacket mishum the achshav hakol makirum. Everybody knows what it is. So lavavi also ena elo mishum the lulo hein the fahesia mibechut. In other words, what he's trying to say over here, and he's going to mention the controversy about it, that Maris Ayin is only where it's public, but both of it's Bechadre Chadorim. That's what he's going to bring up. That's what he's going to talk about now. So he says, Kamel Betzina, Bechadre Chadorim, the short. Neil, Neil, that was basic. However, you have this whole controversy in Hula about Bosish and Asylum and I and everything else over there is a question whether it's because of Kol Gavush Osu Mitzvah Maris Ayin. Rav says, I feel the Chadre Chadorim is Osu. Like it talks about the clothes, Gorim Shanofu. On Shabbos, you don't, what one, the Tana says, Sheitchan Bahama, below Kenegan Ha'am. So nobody will see it. So people shouldn't think that you wash clothes on Shabbos. So comes Rav and says, I feel the Chadar Hadorn, don't do that. So he's saying that the Rosh has a controversy with one of the Gainim. Basically, that's who it is. the source of ayahs of Nisim Dorn, that's a whole sugya. So I look through the rush very quickly. He has done one after another. He goes back and forth against Rav Nisim Dorn. Thing is this, the rush, as if to say, has the power to stand up against the gaining. You know, generally they call Yivrayim Divrei Kabbalah. And the Gainim are mentioned even in the Rajba, they're on Chulin, that they didn't hold, they didn't paskin like Rav, the Chabei Hadori. But nevertheless, we do. And he says that's where it is. We call Mokan, where it's a lame of the Medivah HaRosh, the Shon Yiroh, the Dafke Heva, the Ika Chajda, where there's a Chshad, here's where the Bach makes his own Chilik, the Yisur of the Reiser. Abraheva, the Lekha Chajda, the Yisur of the Reiser, Gahi, the Tzinur. That's a case having to do with Shabbos, where there's a drain pipe and something that is like grass growing over it, and it's blocking it. So how do you remove it? And Shabbos, it'll flood to go into the house. So it says, well, you, with your foot, the Gemara and Subas too, it says over there that all of our katsasim, the Eisa Kalacha Yad, Marko Baragla, the Enafesis. The Jain Hachtfila, the Tachas Abeg, it came in the Klein, the Rabbonin, so Eina Shodzur, that we haven't even come to that, what the definition. Shua told me the news. There are three categories, how it has to be spun and held together, you know, how it's and all of that. So he says, under that circumstance, he's making a big cloud here. This dean of Maras Ayin only applies the Chadri Chadorim. He's saying if you're back that way, if we're dealing with Isa the Raisa. If you're dealing with Isa the Rabbanim, then you can make a mechili between the Fahashir and not. So that's why in the case of the lining, which doesn't have any shaykhus to Isa the Raisa, if it's that hidden away, you can do it.
There's a distinction in Chadri Chadorim between what we know from Chazal's Maras Ayin versus a practical where somebody says, don't do it because it...
somebody has to assess his own situation. You always have this problem, Marathon. You're on the road, and you want to stop on a highway, and there's a Roy Rogers or Burger King restaurant, a way stop, and you have to go in there. You have to use... So if somebody sees you go in there, do they think you're gone? I think most people will say that you're not. Because the way these places are set up, you're using for other things, that's all. That's a self-imposed thing.
Right.
Same thing that Moshe has Shuvas about, and he wrote this to Rabbi Eichenstein in St. Louis. Can an Orthodox love the Masada Kedushin in a conservative temple in the so-called main sanctuary?
That's the kind of davening.
Yeah, that's right. Otherwise, he said, but you're the Chacham of the city, maybe you shouldn't do it, but otherwise... I'll give you an example. It's a matter of control. Some people are already poking everybody's eyes out by saying, oh, he went here, he was there, he was found here, he was there. You know, you're not supposed to be chayshid people also. That's a Isur. You know, chayshid b'ksheirim. The Gemara is very severe on it. Gemara on Shabbos. Chayshid b'ksheirim, leka b'gufo. Strong stuff.
But when you have these things that, you know, we don't want to do because it doesn't look good for Shabbos, it's not specifically brought down as more time. Under those newer, more...
Well, you have to try to adjust to a situation. I can't just spell out everything in the Olive Bays over there. Rabbi Yosef Baer used to say, we used to bombard him with a lot of questions. He says, if they was, he said, Yiddish, cooks in the journal, the Hamor. Yeah. They bring every single little minute child. You know, it's like digduking that are, after a while, becomes ridiculous. You have that kind of thing.
The general concept, though, the concept of Chazir Kodoran, are those specific to what Chazal says is more Zion versus what in practicality might be?
Well, we have to use the principles of Chazal. But if a person feels in his position or the place, he can make his own judgment to protect himself. That's all. The general public should not, as I said before, should not be patient. Like the Gemara says, and if you saw Talmud Chacham, the Gemara Brachos, also, Avera Balaila, it says, don't altar achar b'yayim. Why Shema Osa Tshuva? Shema Osa Tshuva Salka Daita. Vadai Osa Tshuva. No, that's the way, it's a certain way of thinking. And I wish we get everybody to think to the way it comes out, so it'll be all right. So that's where the Bach comes out with this particular, he makes this Kiddush between the Haisa and the Rabbana Bachadur Hador. Now, I see our time basically is up. Now, hope to continue. Wait, we have an Orach HaShulchan that we will try to continue the next time. Now, the problem is, since I've been asked, and we tried it, but it didn't happen because I wasn't feeling well, to give a shiur the Skokie Yeshiva on alternate weeks. So next Wednesday, I'm giving a shiur in Skokie Yeshiva, but not on this subject. It's a shiur clawly on Teirik Eilam Metzias on Yir Shalom Adas. They already have the Mara Mekamis since last August, but I wasn't feeling well from this respiratory thing, and also I postponed it. And in Skokie Yeshiva at the same time. So everybody is invited. I believe at 2:30. In case there's any change, those of the attendees will be informed. But you're all invited. It's all part. I told Rabbi Shishira Friedman, I said, this is a CRC function. That's the way it is.
As being held. In
They're being held in there. So I'm trying to accommodate them to the subject matter. So I prepared an extensive shiur on Yir Shalom Adas. That's all. And then we'll try to come back later to continue here. And this, that, in 2 weeks.
So, 19.
Yeah, so he has in mind I should try to give a shiur to the Beis Medrash. They're starting Yerodea Osnida. So I said, well, wait till we come to that. All right, that's clear for coming then. Good attendance. Oh, thank you. He's getting married in the end of December. So thank you.
Sharim is right. That's what it's called, Sharim. Holly Pavlov, that's Yossi Pavlov. Holly Pavlov is Yossi Pavlov. Yossi Pavlov's wife. Rabbi Yosef Pavlov's wife. Pavlov used to be in the yeshiva with us. And that was Dr. Babad, that was Dr. Babad's nephew. And he married this girl, Holly, who's very, very smart, very wise girl. She has a lot of... Yes, I know. The psychology is great. Pavlovian.
In addition, their workforce is gone. They have no workforce. They have no credit.
They have no workforce?
No, because you see, they lost all these illegal immigrants.
So Rahm Emanuel probably will be the chief of staff.
Over the radio.
Yeah. He'll probably be the chief of staff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He goes to Lopat Shul.
His father is an Israeli.
His father was a pediatrician for many, many people that we know.
His father is a pediatrician.
Same name?
Okay.
But the agriculture has
He has a brother, Ari.
Chicago Rabbinical Council
has left the conference.